He was recalling one time in a class in Vrindavan about the early days in 26 Second Avenue when he started his program. So this was on December the 8th. Prabhupada was giving his Bhagavatam class. He recalled how in the early days of ISKCON in New York, his neighbors would protest at the morning chanting. In the beginning, in that 2nd Avenue, 26, when our morning prayer was going on, at 7, not very early, and so many of the other tenants, half naked, they would complain to the landlord, "Mr. Judah, what is going on? What is going on? Stop it! Stop it! Stop!" So, Mr. Judah, he used to say, "No, no, they'll not stop. I cannot say. You go to the police." So sometimes the police were coming to stop us, but we didn't stop. So this brought a laugh to the assembled devotees. So that was Prabhupada's determination. He didn't stop. Yeah, he was there to do his, you know, work of spreading the holy names, and nothing was going to stop him, even the police. And of course, if you look at when he first went, the first time they ever went out chanting in public was they went to Tompkins Square Park. So what did Prabhupada do? He went down to the park. He immediately went down and sat on the grass. There's a big sign there, "Keep off the grass." Prabhupada sits on the grass and starts chanting. He gets a big crowd. Then the, you know, the park keeper comes and tells him, "Hey, you know, that's, but get off the grass." So Prabhupada immediately didn't protest. He got up, he got off the grass, and immediately sat right down on the pavement right next to it, you know, in the walkways, and just carried on chanting. So the, you know, the park guy couldn't figure it out. He just walked off. But, you know, Prabhupada was there to chant. And that was how the movement began, you know. That was the first time they went out in public. Prabhupada saw there was a good response. So immediately he told, because from his preaching he was starting to attract some following. And then he had to figure out what to do with them. Yeah, these young boys started coming, and then they wanted to move in and practice Krishna consciousness. So he had his little storefront temple, and what was he going to do? He had to create engagement for them. And so he immediately employed them in, you know, chanting the holy names. First of all with japa, there'll be something about that in a minute. And then, you know, going out, he started sending them out, doing street kirtan. Then he started, you know, his BTG and got them writing and printing that up and selling that. And that way, that, you know, the movement just began very organically. And, you know, on this point, just somehow or another spread the holy names around. So anyway, that determination of Prabhupada, because that spread throughout the whole movement. You know, Prabhupada was very clear that he wasn't going to be stopped. This was the only panacea. And nothing could, you know, be allowed to get in the way of the spread of the Sankirtan movement. So when I joined in 1972 in Sydney, that was right at the beginning of the year, we had, you know, quite a few problems there, because you'd already had problems in England in the early, 70, 69, 70, 71. We also experienced that when I joined the temple. I think there were about 10 devotees at that time in Sydney and 4 or 5 in Melbourne. And the only business for the devotees was to go out every day and chant 4, 5, 6 hours a day. That was it. That was our all engagement. We'd go out downtown. We'd stand on one street corner. And then, you know, a group would chant, and one or two would sell the back to Godheads at the traffic lights when people were stopped. And we'd just stand there, you know, for 3, 4 hours at a stretch and just keep on chanting. Then, of course, so that was like when I joined, it was mid-February. There were about 10 devotees. By the time Prabhupada came on April the 1st, there were 44 devotees. So in 6 weeks, we went from 10 to 44. You know, we'd go out chanting, we'd come back, there'd be somebody new. You know, sitting on the doorstep waiting to join. You know, or some girl in a sari, some guy with his head shaved. You know, like this. So it was like just boom time. So, you know, the Sankirtan party went from 4 or 5 up to 25 or 30. And then, because when it got to that size, You know, we go out, we go downtown, we'd stand in front of Woolworths or one of the other big department stores. We'd line up 25 of us and we'd start chanting. So naturally, you know, some of the people in the city got a little fried with us. It's one thing to have a couple of people singing and dancing, you know, on the same spot. But when you've got 25 or 30 of them, you know, doing it for several hours, you know, the people that are working in the offices and in the shops there were getting a little, it was a bit too much for them. So they, you know, started complaining to the police. So, you know, that was it. We would go out, then after 5 minutes sometimes, the police wagon would come flying around the corner. We'd all be watching, waiting for them. And then they'd come zooming up and then screech to a halt. And then as the cops jumped out, we would just run. And, you know, we'd just run across the, you know, across the road in the traffic. We'd run through the stores. We'd go through, you know, all the big department stores. There was one place, Myers. It's Meyer, but it's like the Debenhams of Sydney. You know, it's like the upper class thing. We go running through, you know, with the cops running after us. We go running up the escalators and through the rows of clothing and everything, and the cops would be looking for us all over the place. It was a lot of good fun, actually. And, you know, usually they'd catch one or two people. The guy with the mridanga would always get caught. And then this other devotee, Dwipayana, he used to take his guitar out, so that he would always get caught.